the What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
It was All-Ireland football final day at the weekend, and after weeks and weeks of people looking high and low for tickets, the bad news is they're going to have to start the search all over again. It finished Dublin 209 to Mayo's 15 points at Croke Park. And joining me on the phone right now to talk about that is Colleen Duffy, freelance journalist for the likes of FM 104 and Q102. Hello, Colleen.
Well, nice to talk to you here from what's a decent Dublin weather-wise this afternoon after a bit of rain, I suppose, in Croke Park yesterday. Maybe put a bit of a dampener on things and allowed for a sloppy ball, I suppose. Tom Parsons was on RTÉ News' 6-1 yesterday live talking to Marty Morrissey about the wet ball, and that's why Mayo let in 2-1 goals. So it'll be interesting now, if it's a dry day in a few weeks' time on the 1st of October, will there be any sloppiness? But certainly it was an intriguing final yesterday, right from before throw-in to the final whistle.
Yeah, lots of people are describing the game as one of the most bizarre finals in memory. Is that a good way to describe it, do you think?
Well, I suppose it's had everything right through to Sky Sports calling it the All England final, which I've got considerable traction on a video I put up on Twitter today. It's certainly sparking plenty of comments. I actually had to clarify to somebody that there actually is an All Britain final, of course. The likes of Warwickshire, Lancashire, London taking part, of course, in that. And actually Kilkenny were the champions of that in 2015, ironically enough. But all of that aside, I suppose, even if before we got talking about the actual football action, both teams came out of the tunnel at the exact same time. And of course, that's something that's not normally seen in any kind of match, let alone an All-Ireland final. And I suppose that laid the basis for what we saw ahead maybe as well, because it was a bit of a battle. And I suppose if I talk a bit about the off-field stuff maybe as well, the biggest non-Dublin crowd in the Hill for a Dublin Championship match was yesterday. Mayo must have took up about a third of the Hill 16, the Dineen Hill 16, of course, and all of that provided kind of the underscript, if you like, for what was to follow. And it certainly was one of the most bizarre All-Ireland finals, not just in recent times, but probably in living memory too.
Yeah, you said sloppy game, sloppy ball, and two own goals was the difference really in the end, to some extent. Two own goals by Kevin McLaughlin and Cullen Boyle. What do you think the feeling was from Mayo fans at halftime after the first half performance?
Well, I suppose Mayo could have been ahead at halftime, but the fact, I suppose, that they weren't behind by that much would have given them great hope and confidence. Unfortunately, I got let down for a ticket myself. For starters, it's very, very hard to get tickets for the press box on All-Ireland final day. Everybody wants them, just as everybody wants to be in Croke Park, regardless of where you are on All-Ireland final day. And unfortunately, I would have been one of those neutrals on Hill 16 yesterday had I got a ticket that I was promised. Unfortunately, it didn't turn up, but that's another story. But I suppose my work yesterday was going to involve interviewing a lot of fans before and after the match, but little did I believe that I was going to actually be interviewing fans during the match for bulletins on FM 104 and Q102, which I do a lot of stuff for here in Dublin. And I suppose a lot of that was Dublin fans and their reaction, but I suppose there was a lot of surprise and frustration on both sides. I suppose both sides could have looked at that first half in equal measure. Dublin ahead, but Mayo had scored far more than Dublin. I mean, that was the joke going around, that after 30 minutes Dublin were ahead in the game, but Dublin hadn't actually scored. It was 2-4 points, I think, at that stage. And it'll be one of those interesting quiz questions, I'm sure, that'll pop up in recent years. And I suppose keep an eye in grandstand on the BBC, I suppose, because it'll be one of those moments, what happened next and different things like that. It doesn't matter whether you've ever heard of Gaelic football or not, it'll probably pop up on various sports related programs over the next coming years, I'm sure.
Now, if we talk about the play itself, the Dublin forwards kind of struggled throughout the game, didn't they? They didn't score any points or goals in play in the first half against Mayo. Was that down to Mayo defending or Dublin just being misfiring, really, or just misfiring?
A bit of both, really, I suppose. It's very hard to actually say in any game when it comes to is it defending, is it shooting, when it comes down to misses and numbers of scores and different things like that. Because, I mean, certainly at this level, there's huge intensity in the game and, you know, people can have off days. Sometimes it can be a combination of both. I mean, you could have someone in an excellent position who misfires on their own validity, but also had pressure coming on from defenders. So I always say when it comes to questions like that, sometimes things aren't exactly clear cut. But I suppose yesterday there was a bit of both on both sides. I mean, it was kind of interesting on the ground yesterday, talking to fans and supporters, seeing the reaction on social media, people disappointed with the game yesterday. I know one Dublin supporter I talked to, she came from Sligo and she's been living there for a number of years. It was a woman in, I'd say, her 60s or 70s. She said she was so disappointed she wouldn't go to the replay. Reflecting back, I had a TV view piece to do for the Western People in Mayo, and I was writing it up yesterday evening, and I was looking at some clips of Sky Sports reaction online and obviously the Sunday game as well. And both of those panellists, sets of panellists, were in agreement that it was a great match. So I suppose one thing I always say in press conferences, particularly before big games, is we can say whatever we feel like saying, but it's down to those 15 players plus whatever subs are used and the referee as to what happens on any given day.
That's true. And I suppose Mayo kind of came back strong in the second half then, kind of again, kind of putting to one side, Dublin's kind of forward play. How much confidence did Mayo get from that strong kind of start to the second half?
Huge confidence. And I suppose one thing that I was strong on in my questioning of both camps and analysts and different people I talked to about the game before the match in interviews was the question, Mayo haven't put in a performance so far in the championship this year. Can they do it in the final? And for times in yesterday's game, they did put in that performance, particularly in the second half. We saw a bit of the Mayo that maybe we hadn't seen in 2016, but that we had seen in previous years. I fancied Mayo going into yesterday's game to win the match. I also thought, I was also leaning quite heavily towards a draw, I have to say. I mean, yesterday was the first draw in 16 years, of course. And from that perspective, I felt it was always going to be tight, and I knew Mayo weren't going to play a full 70 minutes badly either. I suppose really and truly, if you take those two own goals yesterday, and you know, they weren't sloppy own goals, really. I mean, it wasn't a back heel into the net or something just ricochet, you know. In that respect, like the shots from the Dublin players were heading in the direction of the goals pretty much. So I know Mayo obviously will be disappointed to let in those goals in the manner that they did, but I don't think it really reflects hugely on Mayo's efforts. I wouldn't be as negative about those own goals maybe as some people might. But you mentioned the second half in your question there, and you know, Dertig or two small Atna Hybrid, good starts half the battle. Mayo certainly did that in the second half yesterday, and they made for an intriguing second half.
Exactly. And do you think they'll get much confidence going into the replay? Because in yesterday's game, it went right down to the wire with Killian O'Connor equalising in the last minute or two. Do you think that will bode them well, or do you think they've kind of peaked too soon in terms of an All-Ireland winning game?
Well, I suppose I've kind of been a bit negative maybe towards your line of question in here, but I actually think, you know, I have Jim Gavin ringing through my head right now, actually, when you ask that. And it's the kind of question I'd ask myself as well. I asked Jim before the match about You know, did he think earlier in the year that Dublin were going to get to another All-Ireland final and that back-to-back was on the cards? And he said, well, no, at any stage of the year, we didn't think about that. We thought about just getting over the next game, you know, even against Laois. And Dublin scored two early goals against Laois, of course, that being my native county, not that I need to be reminded of those early goals. And he said they struggled, and then he was talking about the Meath and Westmeath and different games as well, and you're thinking, well, in reality, are you actually saying what you're thinking here? Sometimes it just can be like that, I suppose. Also, I suppose, having mentioned that, and I suppose the answer I was going to give to your question was that, you know, there's no point in looking back now. Yesterday's game's over. It's done and dusted. Both teams have a chance of taking Sam Maguire, whether it's Mayo for the first time in 65 years or a back-to-back for Dublin for the first time since the mid-1970s, and back-to-back All-Ireland titles for the first time for any county since Kerry did it in the middle part of the last decade as well. It is about looking forward. I don't think really, I mean, the common thread today, and we mentioned it early on, is kind of how bizarre that game was yesterday as a final and as a match. And I think it's about moving forward in that regard. I don't think there's a huge amount really you can learn from that match. I suppose one thing I would learn from it is that if it's a wet day again, I can guarantee you Mayo are going to be All-Ireland champions, because I think that will suit them down to the ground. I don't think Dublin seem to know what to do. For all the preparation that's involved with All-Ireland final teams, it was quite bizarre yesterday that neither managed to push it over the line in the end. But if you go over the 70 minutes, quite bizarre certain things that happened during the match as well. That, you know, if you were training an under 12 team in your local club, you wouldn't be happy with, nor would you expect them to happen.
And looking forward, the replay is due to take place on October the 1st. Any news from the GAA today about the tickets and ticket prices?
Well, as usual, there'll be no public sale of tickets, that's for sure. I know a few did go on sale for the All-Ireland Hurling Final. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on what way you look at it, the Hurling Final hasn't been generating as near much interest in terms of attendance as the football equivalent, even though hurling is far better sport. It allowed me, for instance, to bring a flatmate of mine from Bulgaria to the game who was experiencing hurling for the first time. I would frown upon anybody who would bring someone to an All-Ireland final for the first time and somebody who validly needed a ticket and had been following for years missing out. And an interesting one, I suppose, before I talk a bit more about the tickets for the replay, because I didn't get one yesterday and because I was hanging around Jones's Road all afternoon talking to fans and over across the way in the Crow Park Hotel as well, it gave me an interesting perspective on what happens at 3:30. I actually have some photos I must put up on Facebook I took outside. It's kind of quite interesting, that eeriness and then the loud roars coming from inside as well. But there's a bit more activity about than you might think also. But I was talking to a lot of fans as it got nearer to throw-in in terms of ones that hadn't got tickets. And I would say, be at most Dublin games, covering them for FM 104, whether it be O'Byrne Cup and that first game of the year for Dublin against Wexford, the drawn match in Enniscorthy, right through to aspects of yesterday's game. We have another reporter, Declan Drake, who would be the main reporter on matches. I would do everything else, but I've got to know a lot of Dublin fans over the years who actually go to the games, and there's probably about 500 loyal Dublin supporters. I met about 10 of them outside the match at 3:20 yesterday, and they hadn't got a ticket. You know, that kind of tells you where things are at, and I suppose the interest around the All-Ireland football final in particular. But I suppose, number one, Dublin is the biggest population of any county in the country by far. It far surpasses a lot of counties combined indeed. So that's always going to spark extra interest. Then, of course, you have the fact that it is an All-Ireland final. The neutrals want to be there. There is tickets given to every single county in the country. Of course, all players, all inter-county players are entitled to 2 tickets each. Then you have every club in the country. And of course, across the world, plenty of those, of course, in the UK. There would have been a lot of UK based players and people over for the finals yesterday as well. And you know, there's a fairness, I think, about that system, because people who put into the GA, you know, they might be away from those type of games every Sunday. I did talk about people who go to games regularly, but there is a certain fairness about even people who can't make those county matches because there are club games that morning, because they're washing the jerseys, because they're training kids' teams or whatever on a Sunday, and it just doesn't work out logistically for them to go in to see the county team, that those guys have an opportunity to get a ticket for the big day as well. It's what the GA is all about. But I suppose you could have filled Croke Park probably five times over yesterday and a bit more. And for the replay, it'll be interesting to see in terms of tickets. Are genuine fans going to miss out again? But I suppose, interestingly enough, details have come out, as you said, for the tickets. Obviously, the game's at 5 p.m. on Sunday, on Saturday, the 1st of October. The tickets are €30 for Dineen Hill 16 and €60 for the stands, Hogan, Cusack and Davin. And I suppose the interesting thing there is, I mentioned earlier on about replays, and obviously we had three hurling final replays in the recent past where the stand tickets were €80 for the drawn game as normal, but they were reduced to €50 for the replay. The big question here is why the tickets are €60 for Saturday week and not €50. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, whatever happens, here's hoping we'll have one team making history on October the 1st. Colleen, thanks very much for talking to us today.
Just before we go, we have to mention the All-Ireland Ladies Football Finals next weekend, of course. You know, there's at least two more big days left in September. And for the third year in a row, it's Dublin against Cork in the final. And sure, Cork going for their 11th senior title in 12 years next Sunday at 4 p.m. I know you're a Cork man.
Yes.
You surely give the Dubs one title. They only have won it once. They've Dublin have the same amount of All-Ireland Ladies titles as my own native Laois. We won our only one in 2001. And talking about dramatic late kicks, it was a last gasp winner from Mary Kerwin, a late free as the countdown clock counted down the final seconds, that won it for Laois. I think Cork are due to let somebody else win. I know people don't like Dublin, but for the good of ladies Gaelic football, maybe the Rebelettes might let this one slide by the wayside.
Well, do you know, I'll actually be home myself next week in Cork, so for that alone, I hope they win. Colleen, thanks very much. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
From the heart of Brighton, a taste of home.
People were thought I was making some kind of police joke or something. I was like, no, just, you know, I mean, just, you know, cop on.
That's so funny. Yeah, I don't even know where it comes from.
Brighton's weekly Irish radio show, What's the Crack? With Anthony Martin on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.